L'chaim, everybody. Welcome back to Anticipation, episode 57. And we're going to be continuing to develop a thesis which we started two episodes ago. And the idea is this. So who are we to tell God what to do? If Hashem wants to bring Mashiach, great. We'll be the happiest to receive him. But who are we to lecture God and tell him, Adamosai? How long is this going to go on for? This is out of control. Mashiach has to come. Who are we? Where do we get the gall, the insolence, the chutzpah? And isn't it actually wrong? Isn't it wrong-headed and antithetical to Torah? That's kind of the question that we're dealing with. So the Rebbe, this is at a Pesach Sheni for Bringen. The year is 1984. And the Rebbe begins to highlight the concept of that second Passover, a second chance. Now, we learned about this two episodes ago, and I'm going to refer you back to that episode, but essentially the Rebbe says that the Jewish people, and they weren't necessarily the most righteous or the most extraordinary, they could have been even ordinary people. We talked about the Gemara, there are three opinions. And they were frustrated, and they made this demand. They said, Lamani Gora, why are we being left behind? And that demand had an enormous impact. Because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to tell them. He says, Imdu v'eshma, I got to listen. I have to find out what Hashem says. I don't know the answer. And Hashem says, they ask and demand with such sincerity and such heartfelt concern, they deserve a second chance. So this is mitzvahs that we don't have before. And as I elaborated on in that episode, demanding impact, four mitzvot, four out of 613, didn't exist before these demands were made. So the demands had an impact. So there's a problem with this argument. But the Rebbe doesn't actually highlight that there's an issue with the argument, but he goes on to make the second argument, and then he makes a third argument. So I was thinking to myself, why does he have to make a second argument and then a third argument? It must be that there was something wrong in the first argument, there's something inconclusive. And this is what became apparent to me. In the episode Demanding Impact, I shared with you the words of the Zohar, which is further articulated and elaborated on in the Shnei Luchot HaBrit and the Shalom in Parshas Yisrei, that the commandment, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, which is the first positive commandment we the Jewish people receive, and Lo yilcha elohim acherim, you should have no other gods, which is the first negative commandment, that this incorporates or includes all of the positive commandments and all of the negative commandments. And as we have talked about many times in our classes, there's this famous Gemara in Masechet Makot that tells us that there are 613 mitzvot, and it's Kaminyan Torah, like the gematria of the word Torah, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that the Torah was commanded to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's a morasha, it's an inheritance for the congregation of Jacob. And the Gemara tells us that the word Torah is the numeric equivalent of 611. Incidentally, one of my sons figured out that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in the Torah 611 times, which is pretty incredible that he's... My son Levi stumbled upon that. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who receives 611 mitzvahs, and then he gives us those mitzvahs. In 1 second. There are 613 mitzvahs. Yes, of course. There are 613 mitzvahs, but two, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yilcha, the first two, we heard from God himself. Because we heard those mitzvahs from God himself, so we get the mitzvahs. We, the Jewish people, receive the first two from God himself, the remaining 611 from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Alter Rebbe, in Likutei Amarim, in the first part of Tanya, the beginning of chapter 20, continues to emphasize and accentuate and highlight this idea that's rooted in the Zohar and later developed by the Shalah. And he says that everybody knows this. This is a widely known thing. It's mudas zois lakol, that the mitzvah and the azhara of avad zora, that the commandment and the warning that God says, don't have other gods. We're in a marriage. I expect like special relationship. And that means your full attention. I don't want you getting intimate with other things. I don't want you being committed in a way which is faith-based, transcendent of rhyme and reason. Ordinary comings and goings of life, yeah, that's fine. You'll be involved in all kinds of things. But when it comes to the core essence of your being, when it comes to your neshama, your soul, your faith, the part of you that operates in a higher frequency, that's for us. That's our special time. So Hashem says, Anochi, that's just me. That's just me. We're in this marriage. That's only me. And La Yilucha, you should have no other. So that's really the commandment Alter Rebbe says about Avodah Zarah. That's what the first two commandments are about. This is the basis of our marriage, of our relationship with God. And that's Klolos Kol HaTorah. It includes the whole Torah. And the thing is like this. The Rambam, in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, when he talks about the order, the Seder of the Halachot, of the way he's going to lay out the entirety of the book of Mishneh Torah, he says that these mitzvahs affect the entire Torah because you have to know that your relationship is with God first. That's why these are the first mitzvahs that the Rambam chooses to speak about and elaborate on. And he doesn't begin with the mitzvah of, for example, being fruitful and multiply, which is the first mitzvah, the commandment that shows up in the Torah back in the book of Genesis. And he doesn't talk about the mitzvah of sanctifying time, although technically it's the first mitzvah we Jewish people received as a nation. It doesn't begin with the story of Brit Milah, the first mitzvah that a Jew, Avraham Avinu, got. No, he begins with the mitzvahs of Anochi and Yilucha. He says God begins his relationship with us in Mount Sinai. Here's where the formal contract of our connectivity is laid out, and it begins with Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam's words are, V'tzarech Adam leida isim tchila hakel. You have to know that first. You have to know first that we're in a relationship. And it's an exclusive relationship. And only after you understand and appreciate that element of exclusivity in our relationship, now we can talk. Now our relationship starts to develop. But that's not what the Alter Rebbe is saying here. No, he's saying that Anochi includes all 248 positive mitzvahs. He's saying that lo yilucha is koilal. It includes all 365 negative mitzvahs, mitzvot lo taseh. And that's why, v'lochein, I'm quoting from the Alter Rebbe, beginning of Tanya, shamayno anoichi v'liyilucha levod mepi ha'gvura. That's why it was so critically important that these first two commandments would be heard by all of us. All of us had to hear God speaking in the first person. And this is the meaning, the deeper meaning, he says, of the words which is found in the Gemara in Masechet Horiot, where the Gemara tells us that Mipnei Shehem Klolot HaTorah Kula, that this is incorporative of the entire Torah. So the Alter Rebbe really is emphasizing how it does incorporate, not simply in a manner of this is how we lay the foundation, and these are the operating principles of our relationship, but rather it actually incorporates all the mitzvahs. And as I mentioned, in the Zohar and Parshas Yisro, he goes through details trying to explain how the various mitzvot can be found within that very first sentence. And the Shalah drives that home, and he says, yes, this is in fact true. So this is the problem with the argument. So if Mashiach is supposed to come today, okay, so we make a demand, and we can reveal that which is supposed to be. Because really and truly, if we are to use the paradigm of Pesach Sheni, of the second Passover, the people who were in an impure state, but then demanded and made this heartfelt request of Hashem, and because of that Hashem responded, and there's four more mitzvahs, two positive mitzvahs and two negative mitzvahs that are added to the Torah, but they're not really added. They're always there. It's just Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know about them. In other words, the demand has an impact insofar as revelatory reality is concerned, but it doesn't create a new inherent reality. So maybe if Mashiach is supposed to come today, our demands can accelerate that, But if Mashiach isn't actually scheduled to arrive today, then who says our demands can change anything? So that's my suggestion, that the first argument is inconclusive. It's not satisfactory. And in fact, in the Farbrengen, the Rebbe goes on to make another argument. The second argument that Rebbe makes is that in our davening, we recite this thrice daily. Again and again, we keep reciting this idea of we are waiting for you, Mehera Satzmiach, waiting for Mashiach to come quickly, and that it should blossom forth, the Siyan of David HaMelech should blossom forth. And we really emphasize the need for Mashiach to come right now. And we elaborated in the previous episode, prayer, the impact of prayer, how the prayer impact is so powerful that we call it sustaining impact, because the prayer is about sustenance. So we're sustaining our impact because this is our sustenance, because these are our needs, because that's the nature, that's in fact the definition of prayer itself. So therefore, we have the ability to bring about something that perhaps wouldn't be there otherwise. And here too, there is an inherent flaw or possible challenge or difficulty to the argument. What could that be? I mean, after all, you see, we're making these requests, these demands of Hashem. And we're doing it multiple times a day. Well, the thing is this. So there's a maimer from the Alter Rebbe. And by the way, this idea is talked about in many places, but this is the earliest place, at least, that I found for it. That's found in the Sefer HaMaimorim, Tof Kuf Samachei. And in the Sefer HaMaimorim, Tof Kuf Samachei, there's a maimer that starts off the words, Uvirachacha Hashem Elokecha B'chol Ashatase. God will bless you in all that you do. And the Alter Rebbe says, why do we have to do anything? If God's going to give it to us, didn't He already promise that He's going to give it to us on Rosh Hashanah? So why do we have to make an effort? And he says, so if you want to understand why you need to make an effort, then you first need to understand something else. If we believe that God decides on Rosh Hashanah exactly what's coming our way, so he says, Yipole mizeh shanu muvakshim betfilah shmoneh esrei refa'einu baruch aleinu, then this is quite astonishing that we stand up before Hashem thrice daily. We say, please send healing. Please bless our sustenance, our agriculture, which is by extension a representation of parnasah, of the things we need. And we make a bracha every single day when we finish eating. Hazana to olam kulo, b'chein v'chesed. And then you have Rav Hamnuna Saba in the Gemara, who's got a table full of food, and he's praying, and he's making entreaty. Like, what's going on over there? So the Alter Rebbe goes on in the Maimer to explain that it's possible that there is a certain amount of chesed elyon, what he calls supernal kindness, that's measured out for this person, that's been ordained. However, the chesed elyon doesn't necessarily have to be downloaded in a particular way, or it could come in a variety of ways. And he says, for example, there is the blessing of wealth, and there's the blessing of family or of children. And he says there could be a person that he receives the bracha of osher v'chavod, of affluence, and a high degree of respect, but he doesn't have children. And then you have a person who doesn't have wealth or affluence, but he has beautiful children, a beautiful family. And he says, through our prayers, we can sometimes animate this kindness. We can guide it or channel it in a specific direction. And he says, there's a famous story of the Baal Shem Tov, that he told a person who was extremely wealthy, but childless, the Baal Shem Tov said, I can enable you to have children. I can reconfigure the system. However, you have to realize that you're not going to have those blessings and affluence anymore. And the person said, I want to have children. So he lost his wealth, and God blessed him with children. And the Alter Rebbe says it's possible that there could be a person who is a suffering servant of Hashem, and he has terrible, terrible realities. But it's not because he isn't deserving of kindness. It's because the kindness that Hashem is going to give to this person is being downloaded in a different way. Okay. So, I mean, and again, this is something which is talked about at great length in Hasidus. So I was thinking about this. And this is kind of what hit me. So if we say that we have the ability to pray, and by virtue of our prayers, we're able to bring something into our world that wasn't there before, and that our prayers are made in a rather demanding fashion. That's how we pray before Hashem at Shmona Asrei in our Amidah. We're pretty strident, we're pretty demanding. So we're asking for our sustenance, and we're like demanding the coming of Mashiach. Yeah, but like, think about this. Prayer may only be actualizing that which is already ordained in the modern vernacular. The program is written, it's in the iCloud, now needs to be downloaded into the device. So once again, here too, the prayer isn't something which is truly novel. The prayer is merely actualizing something that already is, but it isn't in this realm. So it's harnessing and channeling and activating and animating and downloading into this realm. In other words, if Mashiach is supposed to come today, but the problem is that's on cloud nine, it's in the Mashiach cloud. So we have to download the redemptive energy into this world in real time, in actual redemption of Mashiach. And we learned in a previous episode, I shared with you the words of the Shalom, who quotes an earlier sage. And he says that when we ask Hashem Gal Yisrael, or Hashem is Goyal Yisrael, it's not a wasted prayer. It's not a waste. It's a real prayer, and it makes a difference. But it's a Geula Pratis. It's coming or into our world, or entering the atmosphere in the manner of a redemption which is specific, which is pointed, which is not global or universal. So the prayer is being answered. It's only not being answered in the fullest sense. It's being answered microcosmically instead of cosmically. But then he goes on to say, not to worry, that every prayer we make registers, and eventually our prayers are going to accumulate, and we are going to trigger and unleash that cosmic redemption. Okay, but again, the prayer is essentially bringing forth that which already exists on some level. So if Mashiach isn't supposed to come today, Chas v'Shalom, and it's not in the program, it's not written, it's not in the cards. Well, in that case, maybe the prayers are actually not effective. So that's the problem with the second argument. So incredibly, the Rebbe introduced now a third argument. I have to admit, this is not like overt. It's a quick read, and there's even a video of this. I posted it on social media a couple of weeks ago. It's a relatively short video, but it's just when you listen very carefully, and you read the sikha, the Rebbe's talk the way it's in written form, with the sources, and you find sources upon sources, and you understand the depth and the profundity. All of a sudden, like, you start to see that there's a rhyme and a reason, a logic and a thought process which doesn't meet the eye without careful investigation and study. And the Rebbe started saying like this. The Rebbe said that this idea of the Jewish people that are asking and demanding and begging of Hashem, the Rebbe said, Bnei Yisrael mevakshim v'tzayikim. The Jewish people are pleading, they're entreating, they're crying out, together with David HaMelech, David Malka Mashiach, who is the origin of redemption. Ad Masai, how much longer? Now we're going to talk about this, Bezrat Hashem, in some of the episodes coming up. We'll talk about that term, Ad Matai, how it is attributed to David HaMelech, and why it's relevant, meaningful, and important. So please put that on the back burner. The Rebbe said also then, very interestingly, Ukamoikim, so too tzoyek, and we cry out, Elokim al damiloch, God, and this is very strident, do not be silent. Al techerash, do not be quiet. Al tishkot, do not be still. Wow. We just told God what? Don't be quiet. Don't be still. What kind of way to speak is that? Now, here is something that I discovered, which is actually quite incredible. The Rebbe spoke about this 3 times that year. It shows up in a letter that's written Erev Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Mem Dalad, which is Erev Rosh Hashanah 1983, but going into this new year of 5744. It then shows up in a mimer, which was recited by the Rebbe on Shabbos HaGodol, Tavshin Mem Dalad, which is the day after Yud Aleph Nissan. The mimer is called V'yakom Eidos B'Yakov. And then the Rebbe finishes talking about it on Pesach Sheni. So, like, I went back to the sources and try to string this all together, because to the best of my knowledge, these three times the Rebbe talked about this pasuk, this verse. And it's interesting to note that there's a tradition of the Baal Shem Tov that one recites a chapter of Tehillim that corresponds to their years. The Rebbe was born in 1902. So on Yud Aleph Nissan of 1984, the Rebbe starts to say Kapitel Pei Gimel. He begins his 83rd year. And this pasuk is the second verse of chapter 83. And I don't know, it seems to me that the Rebbe, you know, began to ruminate on and talk about this verse, because you're always saying that the verse, the pasuk, like, so in 1982, the Rebbe starts saying verse 81, chapter 81. And in 1983, he starts saying chapter 82, and now in 1984, he's saying chapter 83. So I don't know this. I could argue. I'm just guessing. Like, it's like the Rebbe was like reciting this pasuk or looking at this chapter of Tilim already from Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it seems that he was focused on it. So the Rebbe reaches deep into the rabbinic tradition on this verse, as it's illuminated by Hasidic tradition. And he says something astounding, something incredible. So already, in the Michtav Klali, in the general letter that the Rebbe wrote Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Rebbe mentions that we were hoping for a wonderful new year, and that Hashem is going to bless us, and the Geula, the redemption, is going to come, and Hashem will be established as the monarch, de facto sovereign, ruler of the world. And it happens into the details, beproti protius, and it happens betachas hashlemus. By the way, this is printed in Likutei Sichos, this letter. It's in the very, very end, the very last page of the 24th volume of Likutei Sichos. The Rebbe says like this, that it will be fulfilled, Elokim al damilach, this is from chapter 83, right? Don't be silent, don't be still. Zainit still, the Rebbe translates in Yiddish, don't be quiet. Schweignet, don't be silent. Unruhnet, don't rest. Bizes v'dverin, v'yivakshu shimcha Hashem, until it comes that the nations of the world are starting to look for Hashem's presence. So in the footnotes, the Rebbe says that this is from Tehillim, chapter 83, verse 2. See, he says, the Medrash Tehillim, and he mentions that this is explained at length in the Or HaTorah of Tehillim of the Tzemach Tzedek. And the Tzemach Tzedek's commentary on Tehillim is known as Yahel Or. So look over there. And then the Rebbe notes. Sorry, this is my mistake. Erev Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Mem Dalet, Erev Rosh Hashanah Mem Hei. So this is, the Rebbe talks about it, Shabbos HaGodol, Pesach Sheni, and now on the last day of the year, just leading into Rosh Hashanah. And the Rebbe says, look in the mimer of V'yakum Eidos of, so this is like the final thrust. Sorry, the other way around. Okay. So what does the Medrash Tehillim say? The Medrash Tehillim on this verse says the following. This is the meaning of the verse. that shomer mitzvah la yoda davara, that a person who keeps mitzvot will not know of any evil. Kashadvar melech shaltan. If God is the boss, so if Hashem is the boss, so what do you mean? You're telling God what to do? Like, how does that work? So he says, even though in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastics, in chapter 5, verse 4, Shlomo Melech says, "Umeyomer loy matasa." Who's going to tell God what to do? So, Hatzadikim, Oimrim la Kadosh Baruch Hu matasa. The righteous do tell God what to do. Oimrim loy, they say, "Kum, get up." Vuhu kum, and he gets up. Shuv, sit down. Vuhu shev, and he sits down. Really? Where does that happen? That you tell God, get up and sit down. Where does it happen? Numbers 10. The whole Vayihi ben Soa, Kuma Hashem. And then we say Shuv. We all say this prayer. Shuva Hashem, return to us. Omru loy al tishan, we say to God, don't sleep. As it says, Ura, wake, awake, lama tishan, why is God sleeping? This is Book of Psalms. V'hu misayrer, and God wakes up. Tichsiv vayikitz ki yashan Hashem. God may, as if he was sleeping, he wakes up. Al dami loch, don't be silent. V'hu shomea, God listens in. Shenemer, as it says, make him devar avdoi. Hashem establishes the word of his servants. V'atzas malochav, yashlam. Hashem completes the word, the counsel of his messengers. And then he goes and talks about the idea of a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And he says that this is all the proof or the understanding of how we speak to God in this way. And you'll soon see, I mean, the Radal takes out the words Shemir Mitzvah Liyadu Davarai. He says, I don't know what that has to do with this. It's all about Dvar Melech Shaltim. But no. Actually, the way that it explains it makes perfect sense. Okay, so we say, God, don't be quiet. What does this mean? So the Mitzvah says, don't be silent about all the suffering, all the harm that's being done to us. Don't hold back from punishing our enemies. Or as the Al-Sheikh says, what's the redundancy here? Al-Techerash, Val-Tishkeit. He says, don't be quiet about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and don't be still about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Tzemach Tzedek, on this verse in Tehillim, he says, the Ho'inyan, if you want to understand what this really means, then you have to look in the Or HaTorah of the Magid of Mizrich, the Magid Nishma Seidin, and Psukim Melukotim, and Daf Chav Sofa Medbeis, Apostle V'chol Banaich Lemudei Hashem. All right, so I take a look. Tzemach Tzedek tells me to take a look. I'm going to take a look. What does it say there? In the new version, in the new print, it's on Amud Taf Yud. V'chol banayich limudei Hashem. And all of your children are those who are learning Hashem, says the Magid, Ritzon Yoloimer, melamdim es Hashem. We're going to be teaching God. Imagine that. You're going to teach God something. How are you going to teach God? What does that even mean? He says, this is al derech tfilosei shel Choni HaMagel. This is like the prayers of Choni HaMagel, which this, the prayer of Choni HaMagel is found in Masechet Ta'anit on page 23, that the Gemara that tells us about a very, very devastating time for the Jewish people. There's no rain, and there's a drought, which causes famine. It's very bad. And nothing is helping. Millions of lives are at stake. And Choni, who was a great tzaddik, draws a circle and he says, he makes the following statement, I'm not leaving this circle, God, until it starts raining. It's pretty strident. And it wasn't supposed to rain. And the way the Maggid explains the Gemara, Shahoisa Mishane Kaviyochel Rotzen HaBeiri Yisbarech, that it's as if Choni HaMagel changed the will of Hashem. So you're going to say to yourself, okay, very nice. That's great for Choni HaMagel. Choni could change the will of Hashem, right? But in the Maimer, where the Rebbe talks about this, the Rebbe makes a statement. He says, the inyan zeh shehat tzadikim, because it says tzadikim. The Medrash Rabbah says, tzadikim Omrim LaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And the Magid is telling us now that what is this idea? V'chol banayich. He's explaining the word all of your children. Who are banayich? Who is God's children? Only tzaddikim are God's children? He's explaining the verse that says your children. Bonim atem LaHashem Elokeichem. You, the Jewish people, are children for Hashem. But it says tzaddikim. Yeah, the Rebbe says that's not really a problem because tzaddikim, which is Yisrael, Omrim LaKadosh Baruch Hu Batase. And of course, we know that the Yeshayahu Hanavi, the prophet Isaiah says, V'amech kulam tzadikim. Your nation is all righteous. And the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, the beginning of the 10th chapter, Perek Chelik, talks about this. Kol Yisrael, yesh laham chelik l'olam haba, that every single member of Am Yisrael has a portion of the world to come. How do we know? Because V'amech kulam tzadikim. So here, the Rebbe says, if you understand what the Magid is saying, what the Magid of Zitch is saying, it's talking about every Jew. This is not a prayer of tzadikim, of the most supremely righteous. It's v'chol banayich. It doesn't say some of your children. It says all of your children. And he's using Choni Hamagel's example to explain how all of your children can change the will of Hashem. That's pretty powerful stuff. In the Maimer, by the way, the Rebbe adds, Mishum she Yisrael nikru bonim lambakim, because the nation of Israel is called children to Hashem. And he says that the idea of children to Hashem, as the Baal Shem Tov explains it, there's a famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that this is kiben yochid sheneilad lahoirim sekenim. This is like a only child born to elderly parents. Now, the Tzemach Tzedek, in his commentary of Yahel Oyer, adds a little bit of salt and pepper to the words of the Magid here. He says, it's al derech the tefillah of Choni Hamagel, who changes the will of Hashem, so to speak. And the Tzemach Tzedek adds these words. Commission is Boer, B'mishnah, Seif Perigimel, like he explains in the Mishnah at the end of the third chapter of Tanis. And he says, Kiben shehu mitchate lifnei aviv, like a child who sins before his parents. V'oyselet etzayni. He sins before his father, and his father still gives him what he wants. You have to be a father to understand this. A small child does the opposite of what you want. That they have the chutzpah to ask you for something. You're a parent. You give it to them. So the Tzemach Tzedek adds those words, kebena mischata. And the Rebbe picks up on that. And the Rebbe says that this is especially so because of avodat hatshuva, because of the efforts to return to Hashem and to repair our relationship. Now, listen to me carefully. This is an important point. The Gemara records how Choni starts making these demands of God. So it starts like the pitter-patter. And Choni says, no, God, this is not what I was talking about. I didn't ask you for pitter-patter rain. I need like rain. So he gets rain. Oh, does he get like he gets rain. It's a hurricane. Choni says, no, God, that's not that kind of rain. This is destructive rain. I need good rain. I need rain that's going to be life-elixing, not that's going to drown people. And the rain tapers off, and now it's like it's a steady downpour. And then everything in Yerushalayim fills up, all the cisterns are full, and Choni says, okay, we're good now. We're good. We can stop now, God. And one of the sages sends a message to Choni Hamagel, and he says, you got chutzpah, man. Like, who makes demands of this? You're telling God what to do? But he says, you're Choni. If you weren't Choni, he says, I don't know. But you're Choni. And he says, you are kebena mischata lefnei aviv. You're a child who sins before his parents. So the Tzemach Tzedek just mentions, adds those words to the teaching of the Magid, and the Rebbe and the Maimer. But Yochum Eidos explains that this is especially so by virtue of the concept of teshuva. And in the Maimer, the Rebbe talks about the idea of teshuva, and he even connects it to the fact that this mizmar is by Asaf, and Asaf is a child of Korach, and Korach sins, and he is punished in a terrible way, but Asaf and his brothers survive because they do teshuva. Tshuva in the last moment. The key here is tshuva. And this is so interesting because we know that tshuva brings geula. And when Mashiach will come, the great accomplishment of Mashiach is that also la'asova tzadikaya b'tiyufta. He will even bring tzadikim to do tshuva, which is a subject that's beyond the purview of what we're learning right now. Just pointing out, it's very interesting. There's like a whole Mashiach element here, which you don't see at all when you look in the words of the Maggid, but the Rebbe sees already it being alluded to and develops it further in the Maimer, Vayakum Eidos Tavshemem Dalad. So this is like amazing, right? And then the Maggid says, and the same happens with Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens with Moshe Rabbeinu? So this is going to go to a time when the Jewish people are actually creating the greatest sin of all time. And it's the greatest sin of all time. And it says that God is Orim Ritzua. This is the Sefer HaZohar, Chilik Beis, which is Parshat Ki Tisa, and it is Daf Kuf Tzadik, page 190, side B. God, so to speak, picks up a strap to discipline the Jewish people, and it's not going to be good. And this is, as the Mefarshim say, he's going to punish the Jewish people with all the curses that are found in the Tochacha, in the rebuke. Pretty bad stuff. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, first it says that the Shekhinah is like the mother of the Jewish people. There's like the masculine element, the feminine element, and the Shekhinah, the feminine element, like the mother, holds the father's hand. That's the first take of it in the Zohar. And then the Zohar says, V'itema, and if you want to say, how did this all unfold it? And it says like this, that Hashem tells, and this is Mimila the Iubi is Galia, this is from the conversation, which is overt, it's actually in the Torah. So Hashem says in the Torah, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Jewish people made the golden calf, Lech raid, go down, leave, you're dismissed now, Ki shichet amcha, because your nation has become dismerched. And then it says, Shorei la'aroma ratzua, God began to lift up the proverbial whip to punish the people. As it says in the Pasuk, Hashem's anger flared. So Moshe doesn't know what to do. He's never been in this situation. Moshe d'lo havayoda orcha de'ima shasik. He doesn't know the way of the mother. He doesn't know the way of the mother of the Shekhinah. He doesn't know what we just learned about before in the Zohar, that the mother kind of stills the anger of the father. Obviously, euphemism and anthropomorphism on steroids. So Moshe's like quiet. He's quiet. He doesn't know that he's supposed to, now is it, pray. Now is when you're supposed to pray. He's afraid to pray. He doesn't know what to do. He's like overwhelmed by this display of divine severity. So what happens is, Kevan de Chama Kutchebrichu, Kach, once God sees this, God sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is not responding. Ankidle Uvatashbe. He like alludes, hints to him, and he assaults him and pushes him. Va'amar, Hashem says to Moshe, he alludes, he hints, and he gives Moshe like a real jolt by saying, Hanichuli, leave me alone. Very harsh words. And as Rashi says in his commentary in the Gemara, because this is also talked about in the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu was being told by God, like, okay, here's your way in. Leave me alone. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't proverbially holding God. So what does it mean, leave me alone? So this was Hashem like kind of engaging Moshe. Miyad argish Moshe. Moshe understood. V'ochid bidroyei dekud shabrichu. He grabs the hand of God. This is all obviously a metaphor, a parable. And where do you see that Moshe Rabbeinu grabs the hand of God? Dechsiv, for it is written, Zechor la'Avraham, remember Avraham. Do deroyei mina, this is the right hand. Because Avraham Avinu embodies kindness. And in the Kabbalah stick man, Avraham Avinu represents that right hand. Ubegin kach. And because he does this, lo nochit ritzua, the whip doesn't come down. So the whip is about to come down. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, remember Avraham. And with that, he proverbially grabs the right hand. And the whip doesn't come down in the merit of Avraham. As the Maggid now continues to quote, Liyitzchak, Uliyasar Lavadecha, Ochid Lei Bidroi Vigufe. So the Zohar goes on to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, grasps the hand and the proverbial corpus of God. It's obviously a metaphor. Here the Maggid of Mizrich says, Pirush, this means, Kimoshal echad shalakech es chaveri, like a person who grabs his friend, Eitzelai God, by the hand. Ve'ini miniach ha'isei leilich. He doesn't allow him to go. So you're planning to go and do something, and you grab your friend by the hand. You say, no, you can't do this. U'meshane ritzoinoi. Your companion was planning to do something, you caused a change of plan. So the Alter Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek adds in the words, this is a straight quote. And then he says, Kach kavayochal ochazei siba'ava, so too he, as if, grasps Hashem with the love of Avram, with the yira, with the awe, the reverence of Yitzchak, u'meshana ritzon yisbarach, he changes the will of Hashem. And then there's a third example. So the first example is an example of an act of prayer. Almost like an act. It's like a mitzvah. The Rebbe kind of alludes to this. There's three levels here. The second is pure prayer, actual prayer. Zechor l'Avram, Avram, Moshe Rabbeinu's praying. But the third here is the concept of Torah. The Chen Rebbe Yehoshua, we have the story of Rebbe Yehoshua, who argues Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus is of one opinion, Rebbe Yehoshua is another opinion, and there's a machlekes and it goes back and forth, and there's heavenly voices are ringing out and saying the answer is like Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and Rebbe Yehoshua is not impressed. And he says, no. Eimashgichim babaska, we don't listen to echoes from heaven. Torah has to be learnt, understood, and ruled upon here on earth. And V'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God proverbially says, Natzchunei Bani, you have been victorious over me. V'zehu, and we began by learning Torah. So we went from mitzvah observance, from an act of mitzvah, drawing of a circle. We went to prayer, but the circle now is completed with the study of Torah. V'zehu v'chol b'nayach l'mudi Hashem, sh'loindim kaviyoch l'sa Hashem Yisbarach, that we as if learning, we're teaching God, as if. So that's the teaching of the Magid, and the Tzemach Tzedek, in his commentary of Ya'el, draws together the Medrash on the Pasuk, and says the way you understand the Medrash on the Pasuk is by virtue of this teaching of the Magid. And the Rebbe is like sharing all this at the Verbrengen. He already talked about this idea a little over a month earlier, on Shabbos HaGadol. And in the Maimer, the Rebbe goes on to say some extraordinary things. And he says, because this is talking about the Jewish people at the time who are Bechinas Bali Tshuva, Kebechinas Ben HaMischata, which is why we open with the concept that the Rebbe is learning Pshat of Choni HaMagal, because he's understanding the whole story of Choni, bringing about this change amongst the Jewish people and bringing rain for the people in Israel in a time of drought, in a time of catastrophe. And then the Choni gets this message from one of his colleagues that you're like an impudent and insolent, sinning individual because you speak to God like that, but you're like a child. So the Jewish people are in the same situation with the sin of the golden calf, and those the Rebbe says like it's a natural, it flows naturally in the Magid's teaching from the story of Choni HaMagal straight into who is an individual, and here it flows into the not only the prayers of Moshe but the nature of the Jewish people about whom Moses is praying for. Understand? Like in the Magid's teaching, it's about individuals. It's about Choni, it's about Moshe, and it's about Yehoshua. And chronologically, it's all out of order. But the way to understand it is like a mitzvah action, prayer, and then Torah study. But here, the Rebbe is kind of shifting it a little bit, where it's a mirror image of the story of Choni, because Choni is kiben hamitchata. Choni is like the sinning child, and the child who sins still gets away with it because he's the child. And the Jewish people make this golden calf and they get away with it because they are the child, because they're doing tshuva. And when you come home to Hashem, Hashem always accepts you. And that's exactly how we're going to bring Mashiach, which now kind of beautifully flows into where the Rebbe's taking this, because the Rebbe wants to talk about not just asking Hashem for something he wasn't planning to do or give, but asking Hashem for Mashiach. So all we need to do is like make this heartfelt demand, but the entreating impact comes when we entreat. But we entreat with tshuva, returning to Hashem. It's a fascinating elaboration here in the Maimer about a teaching of the Rebbe's father, about the kind of a study and comparison between Korach, who brings incense, and between Nadav and Aviyu, the children of Aaron who bring incense. Nadav and Avihu, it ends in disaster. They get swept up in a holy fire. And Korach ends in disaster, but very different. One is like holiness gone awry, and one is sinfulness gone awry. But the Rebbe says, ultimately, Korach's ending is better because he has children. And the children do teshuva, the children return to Hashem. And this is what this is about. This is about returning to Hashem. And that's what Asaph, the son of Korach, is bringing us this teaching. And the Rebbe says that this is Bekoyach kol echod mi Yisrael. This is within the purview, within the reach of every single member of Am Yisrael. That every one of us, said the Baal Shem Tov, is like an only child. So we're imperfect. Oh, God knows how imperfect we are. And we've slipped and tripped, and we're ben hamitchata, but we're ben. With the child who sins, but with a child. And now, like, bringing this back to the Pesach Sheni for Brengen, so the Rebbe says, here we are crying out to Hashem, and he brings down this Medrash, and he cites the teaching of the Maggid of Mizrich, and the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Rebbe says, so what's the upshot? Ah, because we plead, because we beg for the coming of Mashiach, we can cause Mashiach to come faster. It's not a new idea. Mashiach is going to come. God promised Mashiach is coming. It's not like we're bringing about something which is not the will of Hashem. But it may not be the will of Hashem that Mashiach should come today. But if you and I cry out to Hashem and we demand and we pray, and we sustain in a sustaining way, and we entreat, so there'll be an entreating impact. And the impact will be that we can actually accelerate that process, even if it wasn't supposed to unfold now. And I think this is like level 3, so that's why it's not simply revealing what was already encoded into the Torah, which is the example of Pesach Sheni. That was part 1 of this mini-series. It's not like the example of prayer, which could also be to actualize or download that which is already ordained on a spiritual, lofty level. But here, it's to accelerate something which is obviously a Torah truism, a promise from Hashem, but not destined to arrive today. And yet, we make the request. Hashem will listen to us. And this is an incredible thing. So therefore, the Rebbe says, it's not antithetical to Torah, it is Torah. It is Torah. We can have this impact. If only we do tshuva, and if only we cry out to Hashem and entreat for real, we can have that impact. So I know the world is dark, and it seems very challenging and difficult for us now. But remember, my dear brothers and sisters, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every one of us. And Almighty God is waiting for us to cry out to Him, to return to Him, because that can change everything and bring us the coming of Mashiach, bepoel mamash, in our realm, ubemheira ubiamenu, speedily, and in our days, amen. I hope you found this uplifting and empowering. Please share it. Please. Let's make sure that as many people as possible understand the power they have in their hands to be able to bring about a world of change. And Be'ezrat Hashem, in our next episode, we're going to further develop this idea, because it goes even deeper, as you'll see. But that is, as I said, and let me just read the questions quickly. So Yitzhak asking a question about Korach. Okay, it's beyond the purview of what we're talking about over here. The main thrust here is the Korach we have to bring Mashiach bepoel. So again, thank you for joining us, and have an amazing day. To be continued. Take care.